Well, as we come to consider God's word together, let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge that your word is powerful and active. But Lord, we know that we are human and we need your help to help us understand it. But not only to hear it and understand it, but to put it into practice. So Father, through your spirit, may we accept encouragement where you'd like us to encourage us. May we accept correction when we need to be corrected. But together, Lord, may you build us up through your word, through your spirit, and through each other in your name and for your glory. Amen. Now, if you look at these athletes on screen, does anybody know, sorry for those of you who hate sport, you're going to love today. Anybody know what is the connection between those? You've got Ben Johnson, Diego Maradona, you've got the East German Olympic female swimmers, and you've got the Chinese gymnastics team. Girls teams. Does anybody know? Andrew?
Some cheating went on.
Yes, some cheating. Sorry, Andrew, was that your hand? I didn't see your hand go up. Yeah, they got all caught cheating. I mean, Ben Johnson was the one using various drugs to enhance his abilities. What did Diego Maradona do? Yeah. I didn't think you could use your hands in football, but there you go. He obviously thought you could. This is a bit of a sad case because the ladies of the East German team didn't know what was being done to them, but unfortunately they were on equivalent of HRT, which is why they were becoming rather masculine in their form. There's quite a big story behind that because in doing so, many of them became infertile. So that's a really sad story, but yes, drugs were given to them. And also, does anybody know what the Chinese gymnast team did? Claimed to be younger than they were, so they're able to compete at an easier level than what they're at for their skill. Now, why? Why? I mean, I've just picked out four. Didn't mean to pick out those four. Could have picked any four. I mean, why do people cheat?
False glory?
Yeah.
Lack of confidence in yourself.
Lack of confidence. So in order to help, yeah, build each other up.
We want to win.
Yeah, and what is it about women winning? It is that, you know, oh, I can be there. But because it is such a sacrifice, isn't it? To be the best takes a lot of effort, and athletes make significant sacrifices of time, of relationship, of food, of pleasures, of social activities. You know, imagine if they could halve the time in the gym. Wouldn't that be great? Imagine if they could still eat whatever food they wanted or do whatever they wanted to do whenever they wanted to do it. It would just, and they could still be successful. You can see why some do it. Next one. Can anybody tell me who this guy is? Jonathan Edwards. Now, he's infamous, famous for two things.
He's a
Christian.
Triple jump. Triple jump.
Yes, and wouldn't... race on a Sunday, yes. So this guy now still holds the world record for triple jump at 8 metres and 18 centimetres. He was the first person to jump over 18 metres in a competition where it could stand, i.e. if the wind's too strong, you can still jump, but it doesn't become a world record. But the wind was right, so his world record stood. Yes, and also in the 1991 World Championships, because the final was then going to be held on a Sunday... He pulled out because he would not race on a Sunday. However, 16 years later, he then publicly disowned the Lord Jesus Christ by saying, I just got to the point when I no longer believed in God. And he's walked away from the things of Christ. Thankfully, his wife is still heavily involved, who he'd met through church, is still heavily involved for the Lord and works, I think, full time for a church, which is really encouraging to hear. Staying strong in a straying world. Sorry, I forgot my title. Staying strong in a straying world isn't easy. And Jude is facing this problem for us head on to encourage his friends. Dear friends, he's saying, beloved, he's saying, I want you to live a life for Christ. Because similar to sports, to be a Christian isn't easy. I'm sure none of us have found it easy. There are sacrifices to be made. If we are to live a God-fearing, God-honoring life, it takes effort. We will look different. We will act different. There are things we are to do that the world around us doesn't do. There are things we are to refrain from that the world around us does, and it's tough. So it's no surprise then, as Christians, we too will be tempted to cheat, to find an easier way through it, to even get to the point like Jonathan Edwards did and just throw in the towel. And of course, we could, in a sense, bring it right up to date where we're up to as a church, the domination we're part of in the Church of England. What do you think really is driving their desire to change? And it is a change of practice and the doctrine of marriage. They say it's not, but it is. To no longer to take the Bible as being sufficient in terms of our practice and our belief. Any ideas what's really driving it? And this is just going to be my opinion in a minute, by the way. Yeah, they want to be accepted by the world to make it easier in that respect. Now, this is my opinion, so I'm happy for people to say, Mark, you're just totally out of order here. But I think it ultimately comes down, there's a number of same-sex clergy within the Church of England who now are saying, look, I want to be married in church. Remaining celibate and single in a sexualized society is incredibly, achingly hard. Let's not underestimate the difficulty it is. Everybody else is doing it. Nobody else has a problem with it. Why does the church? Well, that's not technically true. The Muslims do have a massive problem with it. You'll be dead. If only there's a way to make it easy, to make it okay. There is an irony here. Because we are told that the idea is we want to be more welcoming to the society, bringing them in because we've been excluding them. Have we been excluding them? No. Do you know, I have a number of same-sex friends, and we had a number of same-sex friends at our wedding as well. And I had a quick chat to them. None of them, or some of them married anyway, but none of them wanted to get married in the church, let alone blessed in the church. We've been told this picture, but as Jude says, things like this come from within the church, and that's what this is about, from my opinion. So we need to ask the question then. Let's step outside of that. Why does the way we live actually matter to God? Why do we find ourselves in these circumstances of causing friction with the society around us? Why don't we just be the same? It'd be so much easier. God calls us, God calls his people to live a holy life, a God-fearing life. Because after all, he has paid the price for us. If I step back into our sporting analogy, he has paid the transfer fee. We're no longer with Team World. We're now with Team Jesus. Through the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he has paid the transfer fee from one team to the new team of Christ. And you may remember that black thing that's on screen that we were looking in January, what it sort of, in a sense, a way I describe what it means to be a Christian, to live the whole of our lives to the glory of Christ, to the benefit of others. We do that through knowing God, through his word and prayer, showing God through our lifestyle and social interactions, and sharing Jesus through evangelism and using our gifts. Did anyone think that was easy? It's not easy. It is hard. And Jude knows this too. So if we want to know how we can stand strong in a straying world, let's turn to this letter in Jude and see what he has for us. Dear friends, he would say, beloved, staying strong in a straying world comes in three dimensions: inward, outward, and upward. Things we can do inwardly, things we do outwardly, things we do upwardly. We stay strong in a straying world inwardly, thanks, Stuart, by keeping ourselves in the love of God. We stay strong in a straying world outwardly by keeping each other in the love of God and being kept in the love of God by others, and inwardly kept by God in his love. Inwardly, outwardly, upwardly. Why have I put inwardly at the bottom there? It should say upwardly. You'll probably find that's now wrong on every slide where that comes. The bottom one is upwardly, okay? Inwardly, outwardly, upwardly is the way we stay strong in a straying world. Scan your eyes over again, verses 20 and 21. Dear friends, we will stay strong in a straying world by keeping ourselves in God's love. Thanks, Stuart. And verses 20 to 21, I wonder if you could spot three things. It's always three things, isn't it? I like three things. Can you spot three things that help keep ourselves in the love of God? Anybody venture something? I'll give you three words then. Thanks, Stuart. building. You might want reading in there, reading the Bible, praying and longing. We keep ourselves in the love of God to stay strong in a straying world by building ourselves up, by praying and by longing. Building yourselves up in your most holy love, said Jude. Now think back to that sporting theme we've kind of had. In many sports, there's a half time. What happens at half time? A break. What do? As well as having a break? Refreshments. Yeah, refreshments. They have some kind of... It's the classic orange, isn't it? I don't know whether that really happens. As you can see, I play a lot of sports. I haven't got a clue what happens at half-time. But there could have been the orange or something like that. Well, the equivalent for us of Christians, that half-time, that break, is to be building each other up, to be praying and to be longing for the future. And if I pick up on those first two, I wonder whether we realise how reading our Bibles regularly, about praying regularly, builds ourselves up in the love of Christ. It's that classic song, isn't it? Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Now, you did better last time I quoted that one. Maybe you ought to sing it then. But I wonder whether we can see that these are really healthy habits. Reading and praying builds ourselves up if we want to build and grow in the love of God. Now, would anybody here admit that exercise is easy? And they really enjoy it. There's normally one or two, as you can see, I do. It depends if you're just walking. Yeah. Exercise, doesn't it? It takes effort too. A regular thing. It takes discipline. Reading our Bible and praying is a discipline. It is the spiritual exercise that makes us fit, that builds us up, gives us the muscles that we need to stand strong in a straying world. But don't think you're going to have to do it on your own. There's plenty of help out there. I know reading the Bible can be tough. There's times in my life, do you know, even in this last year, I'm reading the Bible because I need to bring a message before you. Even I struggle with this as well. How can we do it? Well, remember, there are things to help you, like these books. By the way, these two belong to Jean and Marilyn, so don't nick these two. And Jean and Marilyn, there is your books. Use a book. See Philip if you want another one. Use other people as well. You never know. There could be friends around you that would love to just read the Bible together. There's a group of books called Reading the Bible One-to-One. And if you want more of that, speak to me. Some of you may want a bit more than that. They're at the SGP, I forgot to bring the leaflets. They're out there. So the Sussex Gospel Partnership, remember we are part of a group, of a multi-denominational group called Sussex Gospel Partnership. They do training courses, one's on a Tuesday, one's on a Saturday. They are now signing up for next term, which starts in September. Speak to Abby. She's done it. Thinks it amazing. Now, Jeff's not well at the moment, so he's not here. Please be playing for Jeff. Speak to him. He did the Saturday one. You did the Tuesday.
Yeah, he did the Tuesday one.
He did the Tuesday one. You did the...
Tuesday one.
Oh, you both done Tuesday.
Yeah.
Did anybody do Saturday? Speak to Abby and Jeff regarding the Tuesday one and look at the leaflet for the Saturday one. If you want to do a bit more, and that will build you up in knowing how to read the Bible. Well, if you need help, just chat to Trish and I. Let's be those who want to read and study God's word. Praying. But maybe you can come to me with a question and say, well, Mark, what do I pray? Well, what do we pray every Sunday? Lord's Prayer. If you ever, do you know, I've often found, I don't know what to pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer. And sometimes literally just say the Lord's Prayer. Or then maybe you might be able to take the sections in it and then build on it. And maybe you've been doing that for a while, then read Paul's letters because he's got loads of prayers. And just pray the prayers of Paul. If you've been able to join us on a Thursday evening for our prayer meeting, you'll know I'll take a psalm and then we pray that psalm. The psalms are a great songbook, but also a great prayer book too. There's lots that will help us in prayer. Grab a couple of other people and say, will you, so we meet up once a month, whatever, for prayer? Join us as a church on a Wednesday at lunchtime. Midday midweek. Actually, it's 11 o'clock at the moment. It will go back to 12. On a Thursday, once a month, first Thursday every month, we meet together here to pray together. Let's be reading and praying, getting fit in the Christian life so that we can stand strong in a straying world. Now, I know you all know that. But there's no harm in reminding us, is there? But there's something that complements our reading of God's word and our praying. Did you see that? And our prayer in verse 21. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Do you know, I used to climb mountains, the summit, and those of you who ever walked them, you know the summit always just seems so far off, and sometimes you've got to go through these really technical, difficult parts, you think, oh, really, do I have to do that? What is it that drove me to get to the top? It was the view, the stunning view. You know, I remember standing on the Monk, which is roughly 2 miles above us here, and you can just see for miles. The sky is a deeper blue. Not many people have been up there. It is beautiful. What will inspire us to stand strong in a straying world is the hope that the Lord Jesus Christ sets for us in eternal life and the glory of it. I wonder how familiar we are with what happens when we pass from this world. Are we familiar with it? The moment that we die, for those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we go to paradise, which is an amazing place. And then once the day of judgment comes, there's a brand new heaven and earth. There is something marvellous to look forward to. And you think, well, Mark, does that really work? Will it work for the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder if you remember these words that the writer to the Hebrews said, chapter 12, verse 2. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. The joy of knowing that his work would bring billions of people to the Lord, the joy of eternal life is what made the Lord go, I'm going to go through this. And we cannot imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ went through. Such strain that he sweat drops of blood. So much was happening at that moment that the world went dark. We cannot imagine what he took. But he did it because of the joy set before him in eternity. May we stay strong in a straying world with the hope of eternal life set before us, won by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not easy to stay strong in a straying world, but God has blessed us with his word, with prayer, and the hope of eternal life. So inwardly, we keep ourselves in the love of God, burying our heads in the Bible, falling to our knees in prayer, and lifting our heads to the joy of eternal life. But there's even more than that. If we needed any more help in verses 22 to 23, thanks, Stuart. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear that we don't drift ourselves, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. We stay strong in a straying world by keeping others in the love of God. Thanks, Stuart. We do that through showing mercy, doing so with urgency because there's a time when it's too late. But we do it safely so that we ourselves don't fall too. We're able to stay strong in a straying world because God has blessed us with each other. Isn't that amazing? We don't play for Team Jesus on our own. We're a part of a team. And together, we are there to help each other stay in the love of Christ. We, the people of St. Richard's, the community of God here, are gifted to this church to help one another. So you could look around the room, look at each other. I'm allowing you to look round. Okay. Did you ever imagine that God put you in this place to help the people in here? And that God also put everybody else in here to help you? Isn't that marvellous? I need you. You wouldn't have thought, would you? But I do. Actually, I need you all as much as you need me, and we all need each other. Now I'm going to tell you a story. I've got a funny feeling I've already told you this story, but I'm not ashamed to reuse a story. So a few years back, I went climbing with my uncle and a mate called John. We were practicing climbing using ropes and various forms of equipment because we were going to go to the Swiss Alps and do some climbing up there. Now, John loved to film everything, but I can no longer find the film of this event. It's probably in my dad's loft on a VHS or something like that. But yes, I remember VHS. For those of you who don't, be lucky. But as John panned his camera around, you see me, because we're roped up, loop the rope in front of me over a rock. As my uncle, who's in front of me, so there's John, me, and then my uncle on this rope, is putting in what's called a friend, a cam, into a rock that holds in a crack. So he tugs it to make sure it's there, only to have it come out, and off he goes. And I can assure you, the sound of the rope whistling through the bits of kit is an eerie sound. It sounds like ages, but it wasn't. It was just seconds before you hear a ching, 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 as the whole lot tightens up, and then it all goes quiet. Because I'd looped that rope over that rock, I didn't then follow him off, and he didn't go very far, and we were able to sort ourselves out. Maybe it's just as well I didn't bring that video here. Our passage is so practical, isn't it? What are we to do when we come across people who do doubt, who do fall, who come to question the truth of God, tempted to take a shortcut or to make the Christian life easier, or even to throw in the towel? We're to have mercy upon them, compassion upon them. And that means being bold in showing people their error, the error of their ways, and seeking to win them back for Christ. Do you know, the action that we are going to take as a church, as part of the Church of England, which I should have the detail I can tell you on Thursday, is not for the purpose just to cause a problem in the Church of England, but to cause repentance and a restoration from where our leaders are taking us, which is clearly contrary to Scripture. It is Matthew 18. And in the spirit of mercy, we do these things, not in a spirit of retaliation. And that picture, we've got this picture, haven't we, of snatching someone from the fire, that reminds us that there's a permanent problem here. If we don't do anything, someone's going to fall to their death. Had I not done anything with that rope, there's every possibility my uncle and I wouldn't be here today. So too, spiritually, people can fall to their death. It says quite clearly, the fires of hell is mentioned here, isn't it? A spiritual death. If we don't hold on to each other, people could fall to their spiritual death. But there's a caution here that we need to make sure we ourselves are safe. My uncle and I were attached to a rope, but had I not put myself safe on that rock, we would have both been off anyway. So there's a triple warning. Cheating God and his word will see us end up in the judgment fires of hell. If we don't have mercy on those who reject God and fall away, they will find themselves in the judgment fires of God. And we need to make sure that we ourselves don't get caught up in the same sin and failure and be lost, because we will find ourselves in the judgment of God. Had we not been roped together and not put that rope over the rock, I probably wouldn't have been here. Spiritually, that is a picture of us. We are here together to work together, to build each other up, so that we are strong, that we do not stray in a world that is straying. Have mercy on those who struggle. Seek to save those who'd wandered from the truth. Show them their waywardness while being held ourselves by others and the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ. We stay strong in a straying world inwardly, by keeping ourselves in the love of God, through reading, through praying, through longing for the future. Outwardly, we keep each other in the love of God, showing mercy with urgency, but safely. And lastly, we do so upwardly. Sorry, it says inwardly on the screen. I hope, as we read this through, as Philip read it earlier, we saw the marvellous way in which we can stay strong. And that is that God himself keeps us. To him, that is Jesus, who is able to keep you, us, from falling. He is the one that keeps us from stumbling. God keeps us in the love of Jesus. God keeps us following him. We can fail on our own. We can even fail as part of a team. But if God has got us, remember those phrases, none will snatch them out of my hand. It is guaranteed delivery into our eternal home. I don't know whether you spotted, but there's three mind-blowing ways in which God does that for us. He keeps us from falling. The Lord Jesus Christ presents us before his Father without fault. And he presents us before his Father with fantastic joy. I hope we can grasp the truth of these verses. Jesus will keep us strong and in his love, preventing us from straying in this world. He will bring us into eternity, blameless and guiltless, cleansed of our sin, because through Jesus, God gives us all that we need to be, and through Jesus, God forgives us all that we are. It is his work, and therefore the Lord Jesus Christ one day will bring all people, however many billion it is, before the throne and say, look, Father, look what my work has achieved for you. There will be a joy, a celebration. It's the winning of a great war. I am loved by Jesus. You are loved by Jesus. May we know that. And in times when we do feel ourselves feeling low in our self-esteem or self-worth, read these verses to remind yourself how much Jesus loves you, how honoured you are in his sight, and what he does for us. Standing strong in the glory of these verses, because Jesus will present us with great joy before his Father. We stay strong in a straying world, inwardly by keeping ourselves in the love of God, through reading, through praying, through longing for the future. Outwardly, we keep each other in the love of God, showing compassion and mercy to one another with an urgency, but while keeping ourselves safe. And we do so upwardly, because God will keep us in his love, without falling, without fault, and with fantastic joy. And if you're wondering how we can respond to that, well, look at verse 25, because I'd love us just to say this together as I close. God has done all this for us. And so we respond, say together, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. The wonder of our God. Guaranteed delivery into our eternal home through what he does. May we love each other, care for each other, and one day look forward to that great time. You know, eternity is going to be amazing. It'd be the joy of sharing each other's stories for how God has been gracious to us. May we long for that and look forward to that day. Staying strong in a straying world. Amen.